Okay, we're in the book of the Revelation, at chapter 18. And before I go into the to this chapter, I feel like there's probably a couple things that I need to explain. So often, when people are looking at the Bible, studying the Bible, teaching the Bible, for whatever reason, they feel like they're under obligation to make everything fit. And when you try to make everything fit, you get yourself in trouble. And sometimes it's something given in symbolism that you don't try to make everything fit. You're getting the concept of what's being spoken, and then you're looking for interpretation in the Scriptures and not a private interpretation. And so, for example, when we've been looking at your study guide, I put it as dangerous animal, where the King James Version says the beast. And I think you've heard that phrase, that word used more than anything else, the beast. Now, what you need to understand is what is being said is something that threatens your life. A beast, a dangerous animal, it's something that is a threat to you. So when you see these things, just understand what he's saying, that this is something that is dangerous to you. So we don't have to interpret everything. However, there are places where things are interpreted, like the seven heads or seven mountains. Well, that's, I don't need to add to that. It speaks for itself. And what I would say to that, in light of what we've been saying, is that you can just search your history. That's very easy to find on the internet. You'll find that Rome sits on seven hills or seven mountains. Okay? And there's other things that we'll see in here. And then another thing we're looking at, when he talks about the beast and the false prophet, false meaning that it's someone that is speaking, but what they're speaking is not inspired by God. They're speaking for a system. In the world, and it's been as long as we've known, there has been two systems that run simultaneously. The one system being what we would call civil government, or political government, however you want to phrase it, but generally it's viewed as a civil government. And then you have an ecclesiastical body. And it's always been this way. Now, people tend to want to talk about the segregation of the ecclesiastical and the civil government. But that's never been the case, really, if you study the history, is that the ecclesiastical has always been influential. But the ecclesiastical supposedly presents things in a peaceful form, but it uses the civil government to enforce its desires, and the civil government will use physical force, you understand. And so the ecclesiastical government operates behind the scenes. And while you're seeing everything out here, people talk about the government against you, but they do not know what's inspiring the government. It's the ecclesiastical system that is inspiring these powers. Okay, so they're putting pressure on leaders of nations to do certain things that will allow their desires to be fulfilled. And this is where we speak openly about the Catholic Church, we speak openly about the Pope, that there's not a more powerful person on earth because of influence. Yet people do not necessarily think of his position as a position of power over nations. But what he does is he has such influence over the leaders of the nation that he uses his influence to get the leaders to use their power. And that's the way it's always been. The ecclesiastical using the civil to accomplish his goal. That's exactly what happened when Jesus came to earth. When Jesus came to earth, he exposed the ecclesiastical system. You know what he said about it? He said, "You are of your father, the devil. And the works that he does, you do." Now, how many of you know that that is offensive to the leaders of religious organizations to say that their father's the devil? But if you follow their practices, you'll find that their practices are not godly practices. The things they do are not out of the Word of God. For instance, and we've been talking about this in the morning class, how many churches actually operate with the government of God? How many of them operate biblically, that their government is biblically sound? See, God's government, the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the dominion of God, is theocratic in nature. Theocratic just simply means God ruling people, or I could say the Creator ruling the creation. But isn't it interesting that in the churches today, they do not want that government? They do not want God ruling the creation. It goes all the way back to like Israel, as an example. When God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, God did not want them to have a king. He wanted them to trust Him. As a matter of fact, initially, God wanted to speak to the nation. And the nation was so afraid of God that they said to Moses, "We don't want to hear God. You go hear what God says and you come back and you tell us what God says." Because it's a fearful thing, it's an awesome thing to be in the presence of God, especially when your heart's not right with God. Okay? And so God was a threat to them, although God didn't present Himself as a threat. They viewed God as a threat because what God said held them in check. It didn't allow the flesh to do what the flesh does. Sins. You understand? Sinners on itself, not on God. And all other pagan religions of the day, excuse me, just like today, center on self. God wanted the nation of Israel to focus on Him. That's why the tabernacle was set in the very center of the encampment all the time. So that God is to be the center. The very heartbeat of the nation, if you will. And under Moses, you saw theocratic rule in operation. God spoke to Moses. Moses conveyed to the people. God gave the Constitution. He gave the law of Moses. The Constitution to run the nation. God gave it to Moses. Moses gave it to the people. That's theocracy. God using a man that He had selected, whom He trusted, would do what He told him to do. And He did. God said it. He conveyed it to the people. This is theocracy. See, this is how churches should operate today. The second, third chapter of the Revelation. The oversight of the church could get the message from the head of the church, Jesus Christ, and convey that message to the church, whatever that may be. Sometimes it's exhortation. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's warning. Sometimes it's instruction. Whatever the case may be, the oversight has the responsibility of conveying to the church what God says. If a nation is operating under theocratic rule, for instance, just like with the way the government's set up in the United States, the president should be before God, asking God what's in the best interest of the nation, and then the president should be using his influence to do what's in the best interest of the nation. The same way with the governor of a state. The governor should be in the presence of God, listening to what's in the best interest of the state, and then executing what God says. That's theocracy. That's God's kingdom coming in earth and God's will being done in earth as it is in heaven. They don't vote in heaven. They obey. And that's a lost art. That's something that we haven't found here in earth, is people do not want to obey. I was talking to someone today, they were making some statements about some, and I said, you know, if you look at the generation today, it's a generation that's out of control. It does not respect people. It does not respect authority. It does not want authority. And it does not take responsibility. You take care of me. You understand, when I was 18 years old, I was taking care of myself. I was supporting myself. And kids today, I mean, you have people today living at home and up in their 20s or 30s and still expecting mom and daddy to support them, and they need to be out. And listen to this phrase. It's not dirty talk. Get a job. And go to work. And be productive in society. Okay? We need to learn to do that. Now, here's what's happening. Here's your dangerous beast, your dangerous animal. It works through seduction. And so, it will give to you to take from you. It will give to you to control you. And so, you see in all these things that are going on, and especially we can relate to it here in the United States, with all the giveaway programs, the entitlements, and all these things. And people are blind as a bat. They don't see what's being done to them. It's setting you up to take the mark of the beast. That's exactly the whole objective behind it, is to set you up to deceive you into taking the mark of the beast. Now, here's how it works. We started out with gold and silver, a fair exchange. Then they had the idea of taking paper money, and that paper money was to be backed by the gold or the silver, which is a joke today. Then they went from the paper money to the checks. Then they went from the checks to the credit cards. And now they've taken and put in the credit cards the chips. So what's the next step? Human implants, it's already been done. It's already been done. Now, here's the thing about that 13th chapter of Revelation. I'm backtracking a little bit. If you don't take the mark, you can't buy or sell. So, if you're on any type of entitlement program, Social Security, whatever, you don't take the mark, you don't get the money. It's a setup. And people say, I would never take the mark. I would never take the mark. Would you starve to death? Would you let your children starve to death? Would you let your family starve to death? It's going to come to that. And if you take the mark, you're destined for the lake of fire. That's how serious it is. And we better wake up and realize what's going on. So, the government and the church are working hand in hand against you. I should say the religious system are working against you. Not for you. So this is why it's a dangerous animal. This is why it speaks of the heads, the authorities, the powers. Okay. There's tremendous, tremendous influence in the ecclesiastical society. It has great influence over the civil society. Who had Jesus killed? The civil government would not have killed Jesus had it not been for the ecclesiastical. Jesus was not a threat per se to the civil government. He was a threat to the religious order. So the religious order used their influence over the civil government to get the civil government to crucify Jesus, even when Pilate said, there is no fault in him. There is no reason to put him to death. But to show you the influence of the religious system, Pilate with his own mouth says there's no reason for his death. But yet Pilate ordered his crucifixion because of the pressure the ecclesiastical system put on him. The ecclesiastical system today is putting tremendous pressure on governments. It's coming. I don't know when. It's close. Closer than it's ever been. I feel like we're just a step away. You could wake up one day and find out that there is no dollar. I remember reading a book years ago, The Day Your Dollar Dies. To where now there's no currency. They're trying to get this to go now, get this to in effect now, to where there's not a currency exchange. What they want to do, and Walmart's a major player in this. As a matter of fact, Walmart, and this is common knowledge, Walmart has notified all its vendors that if you're going to do business with us, you have to put the chip in your products. To where, here's what happens. The truck comes in and unloads. You have a scanner to where you don't have to have employees spending man hours doing inventory. It automatically scans the chip as it comes off the truck and automatically puts it in a computer to where you know your inventory. Even to the point that if one of these vendors has a product on the shelf and it falls in the floor, that vendor knows that product, where that product is. There's so much information in these chips. And here's a step, and you probably have already, some of you have already fallen for it. I rebel against it. I will not do it. And that's self-checkout. I'm not going to do it. I know what it is. Because what it's trying to do is anesthetize you to the point what they're planning and developing this thing right now to where there are no registers to go through. You push your buggy out the door, you go under a scanner, you have your chip in you, and that scanner reads at one time all that's in your buggy and immediately withdraws it from your account. The technology's already here. I'm not giving you Hollywood stuff. I mean, it's knowledge. It's out there. It's fact. And people are so naive. This is the beast. This is a dangerous animal, and it's out to eat you, not your lunch. It's out to devour you. That's why you better put your faith and trust in God. You understand? Not in a system. The system will come back and haunt you. So we put our confidence in the Lord. So when you see this dangerous animal, this beast, you see these horns. Horns are symbolic of power. And the heads, you know, just there's two different things. The one, he told us, the head was seven mountains, seven hills, on which the woman sits. I fully believe it's referring to Rome. Okay? Now, I just wanted to preface going into the 18th chapter. I wanted to put these things out there to show you where we're coming from and to show you how the stage is being set. The props are already made. You understand? It's just the fact of implementing. But they're smart enough not to put it all on you at one time. It'd choke you to death, and you would have an uprising. People would rebel. But if you bait people, that's just like you don't normally catch a fish off of a bare hook. What do? You give that fish something it wants so you can get what you want. And that's exactly how this system works. It gives you something of what you want so it can get what it wants. Control of you to where you become the slave of the system. You understand? You're talking about human trafficking personified. There is no bigger slave trade than government. That's their whole objective, is to own you. So they'll bait you to own you. I'm warning you. Okay? Now, with all those things in mind, we go into chapter 18, and after John was shown this harlot or prostitute that was riding on this dangerous animal, this animal that's out to devour you, okay? So after John sees this, he was told what it symbolized, and then he saw another angel come down from heaven, and this angel had great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. You can read this here. He cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons. A prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Does that sound like anything that's existing on Seven Hills today? Babylon is confusion. What has brought more confusion into the populace than religion? People don't know what to believe, because they do not want to study for themselves. I had someone to call me today and was saying this. And I just said, do you read your Bible every day? Well, I said, that's a yes or no answer. You either do or you don't. Well, it's amazing how hard it is for us to say yes and no. But finally, I got a no. Okay? I said, why not? Do you want God to talk to you? Well, yeah. Well, open your Bible. God wants to talk to you, but it takes your cooperation. In other words, you have to submit yourself to God. Open the Word of God and read that Bible every day, and God will talk to you every day. But if you just want to read a verse here and a verse there, then all you're doing is deceiving yourself. You're not going to know the Word of God by picking and choosing. It's systematic. You read through, and I'm not talking about trying to read so many chapters in the Old Testament, New Testament, so you can read the Bible through in a year. That's bull. Yeah, I said it. Read the Bible because you want to learn the Bible, not because you're trying to read the Bible through in a year. Well, how long should I read? I don't know. Read. Do you think you've had enough? How much do you eat when you sit down for a meal? I can't tell you how much to eat. But if you can take one bite and that satisfies you, go on. Sooner or later, you're going to starve to death. I asked this person, I said, let me ask you a question. If you fed yourself physically like you feed yourself spiritually, would you be alive today? Well, no. Think about it. We're going to have to start shooting straight with people. You understand? I'm not talking about being offensive. I'm talking about telling people the truth, because people are deceived. And it's the religious system that's deceived them. It's not the civil system that's deceiving. It's the religious system that's deceiving. And then the civil system coming in on the heels of it and taking advantage. The religious system is setting you up for the kill. The civil system kills you. That's what they did with Jesus. Now, if they did that, if they operated that way with the head and they were successful as far as getting him crucified, don't you think that they were going to do, that they planned to do the same thing with the body? What does Satan want? He wants the seed devoured. People whining and crying, well, you know, Satan's been after me. Of course he's after you. My concern would be if he's not. You're in bad shape. He's already got you. That's why he tells us to keep ourselves submitted to God. Because there is an enemy, an adversary, that's seeking to devour whomever he can. Now, he can't devour you at his will. You understand? Stay in the secret place. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Spirit. Stay covered with the Word. Stay covered by the Spirit. Then you won't be deceived by all these traps that are being set for you. I'm amazed at how naive the general public is. I mean, I don't say that as a tongue-in-cheek statement. I'm absolutely amazed at how naive people are. To me, it's as plain as the nose on your face. It is so obvious what's going on, and people say, what? That's why people are going to be deceived. This revelation's in here to reveal. That is what the name means, right? It's here to reveal things to us, and we better pay attention. So, this great and powerful angel says, Babylon the Great has fallen. It's become the dwelling place of demons. I submit to you that if there is a throne of Satan on earth, it would be there in Vatican City. It would be there in Rome. It would be coming out. I heard something interesting. I think it was last week. Some situation somebody was in, I'll keep this very vague, and they thought, well, maybe there needs to be, my terms, a casting a devil out, their terms, an exorcism, and that means that you don't call this minister, you have to call the priest. Isn't it interesting that people relate control over demons to priest? Authority over demons to priest. Wonder why they see that. Yeah, but it was birthed out of something. See, the system tells you that it has authority. Why? Because the system's under the influence of the demons. I'll take you back to what Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And you do the works of your father. Now we better wake up and stop doing the works of devil in the churches. And in the local churches. We need to be doing the work of the Lord. We need to be listening to the head of the church. We need to proclaim not only the gospel of Jesus, but we need to proclaim the gospel Jesus preached. And Jesus talked about his Father's kingdom. And that's what we need to be presenting, the Father's kingdom. We need to know more about the Father's kingdom than we do about worldly kingdoms. But the church knows more about the kingdom of the world than they do about the kingdom of God. They don't even know how the kingdom of God operates. So consequently, they don't operate in the kingdom of God. So what happens? The devil beats them around like crazy. And then we want to whine and get counseling. You don't need counseling, you need teaching. And then you need to apply what you've been taught. That's the counsel, apply what the Word of God is putting into you. Get the Word in you and apply the Word. That's the counseling you need. That's the best therapy you can have. Be a doers of the Word. Not hearers only. Deceiving yourself if you're not doing it, just hearing it. Okay? So this angel is pronouncing or proclaiming that Babylon's fallen. And it says this, a dwelling place for demons, every impure spirit, a place for all impure birds, dangerous animals, and everything that is impure and detestable. It would amaze you the wickedness that comes out of the system. All races and the kings of the earth have drunk the wine of the passion of her harlotries. People are courting this system heavily. And what amazes me is the evangelicals that are doing it. And all it is, she's a prostitute. The prostitute is out to take advantage of you. Most people don't realize that. Proverbs has something to say about it. She's just a highway to hell. Her path, is the way he says it, leads to hell. And that's what the system is. The system is a prostitute. It's not a wife. There's a difference. Jesus is not looking for a prostitute. And he'll have nothing to do with that. Okay? It says, all races and the kings of the earth have drunk the wine of the passion of her harlotries. She had something to offer, and they fell for it. The tradesmen of the earth have indulged in unlawful lust with her. Through the power or through the means of her luxury, her expensive lifestyle, they've become wealthy. And I'm going to tell you, if you've never walked in of any of these churches and settings and museums and all these things that they have, it's wealth personified. Where are they buying this from? Merchants are making money off of it. They have money to give them. And it's amazing how people will sell their soul for a dollar. I just talked to, not long ago, to a young person that was, I won't go into any of the detail, but I just said, do you know that you're selling yourself? That you have so much emphasis on the dollar that it will affect your thinking, it affects your morals, and it'll cause you to do all types and any type of ungodly practice to get advantage. It'll sell you drugs. It will prostitute you. It will sell humans to others. It will kidnap human beings and take them and sell their organs to other people. That's what greed will do. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not the money, the love of it. Because it drives people to do all these things. This is what's going on with the churches today. Now I'm going to talk about the evangelical churches. Their love for money is causing them to do unscrupulous things, taking advantage of people, lying to people, using missions to raise money, not raising money for mission. So they'll find some kid with a belly swollen out from malnutrition with flies on his face to generate millions, and then they keep most of what comes in. That's greed. That's ungodly. And then all the pressure that's put on you week after week, you gotta give, you gotta give, and they telling you this, and they passing offering plates, they doing this, that, or the other. Why? It's greed driven. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. It's a fact. You understand? It's an absolute fact. And what is done, it's caused great damage to the church. Now the emphasis is on how big your facilities are, the luxurious appearance of the facility, and how you your decor when you walk in, and all these things, and spending all kinds of money that donors have sent in who didn't have the money. In other words, they're living off of Social Security and then sending money in to an ungodly, demonic shyster. You better wake up. If it's not following the practices of God, stay away from it. And you won't know if it's the practices of God if you don't know the Bible. Amen. Show me anywhere in the Scriptures that they were passing the offering plate. I can show you the Scripture that they use where Paul is writing, because there's the Jews are going through a difficult time financially, and the famine and all this. And then Paul writes to the church, he says, you know, the first day of the week, then you gather the offering, you gather the relief to give to them. That's to give to them, not to give to the church. And then all these churches that jump on the bandwagon, they use that scripture that every Sunday when you come together, you're supposed to pass the offering plate. Well, go ahead and send the money for benevolence. That's not what it said. Paul said, so when I get there won't be a collection taken. They don't read that part. And my time's up, so I'll stop.